Real Money Radio is brought to you today by Holland Financial. Since 1997, David Holland and his team have helped hundreds of investors plan their financial futures. Planning doesn't have to be hard, complicated, or stressful. Come see how simple and clear your future can be when you plan stronger. The consultation is free. Call 671-PLAN or visit us online at planstronger.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So we've got a really neat and interesting show lineup for you today. And I'm always excited, as you know, to have a good guest on. And this guest is no exception. In fact, my hair is blown back by having Steve Barry on the line with me, author and philanthropist, and his book, The Lincoln Myth. And his website is steveberry.org. And if you haven't heard of Steve, well, let me give you a little background on him because you'll see why I have him on the program. New York Times and number one international best-selling author of 9 Cotton Malone adventures, 4 standalone thrillers, and 4 short story originals. His book has been translated into 40 languages with 17 million print copies in 51 countries. He's won all kinds of awards, and I could spend the totality of the show describing those awards to you. He was born in Georgia and graduated from Walter George School of Law at Mercer University, trial lawyer for 30 years, and held elected office for 14 of those years. And we are super excited to have him come on and talk with us about philanthropy, and we'll also talk a little bit about his book. So, Steve, welcome to the program.
Great to be here.
It's good to have you. And so let's dive right in here and help us understand. I know that you do a lot of writing, and it's exciting what you do. And I'm getting ready to do some travel myself on an airplane, and I appreciate your sending me a copy of the book. So now I have something that will keep me busy and occupied on the airplane. So thanks for sending that book to me. So we want to talk a little bit about philanthropy and giving back. The first question, what got you interested in philanthropy? And then we'll get into a little bit of advice for people who are looking for ways to make that a part of achieving meaning and things that they can get by being philanthropic. So what got you really interested in philanthropy?
Well, my wife Elizabeth and I were traveling all over the country promoting the books. We go on tour and we do a lot of travel outside of the tour each year, and we began to notice that there's not a dime out there anymore for historic preservation. It's really just kind of all dried up. I served in public office, as you said, and there was no money from the public sector, not in our county anyway, for historic preservation. And so we came up with an idea, a way to help communities raise money for historic preservation, and that's History Matters. And we go into a community and they have us in and we do whatever they want us to do. If they want us to do a meet and greet, a dinner, a luncheon, most times we teach a writer's workshop, which is a 4-hour course on the craft of writing. All of those items are people pay to come to those, and all of the money raised from those goes to historic preservation. We don't charge to come. We don't charge expenses or anything. In fact, I pay my own way to go to all those places. And we've taught around 2,600 students around the country, and we've raised around $750,000 for various historic projects. So it's been a really neat little partnership. It not only raises money for historic preservation, but it mainly and most importantly, it brings awareness to the local problem of historic preservation, and it allows the community to keep going after we're gone. And we just were on book tour. We did 3 History Matters events, and we raised $30,000 for 3 separate projects.
Excellent, excellent. Well, and mentioning the book, The Lincoln Myth, and that's available on your website, steveberry.org. That book, I can't wait. I'm taking it with me on my flight.
Hold it up prominently, too, please.
I'm going to. In fact, okay. when the steward or stewardess gets up, we call them flight attendants now, generically, when he or she gets up to do the safety check, I'll stand up there next to him with the
book.
I love the premise of the book, that Abraham Lincoln did not fight the Civil War to save the Union. He fought it to create the Union.
That's right.
And I think that's really interesting. And history always winds its ways through your novels.
It does. Something lost from the past, something forgotten, something we may not know a lot about, but I'm hopeful you want to know some more about. And this is a good example. You know, if you ask the first 15 presidents of the United States, could a state lead the Union, they would have all said, of course a state can lead the Union. Lincoln is the very first national figure to say, no, a state cannot lead the Union. The Union is forever. He created that concept of an indivisible union, but it wasn't in the Constitution, nor did the Founding Fathers intend it. It was entirely from Lincoln. It's part of that Lincoln myth that this novel explores.
Give me the right terms for it, Steve. Is it historical fiction, or is it historical, what do you call it?
It's an international suspense thriller,
okay,
is what it is, because it's a modern-day thriller. Because it's everything that I deal with from the past still has to have relevance today.
Okay.
So it's a modern-day suspense thriller that deals with something from the past, in this case, something from the Civil War, and something from a secret deal that the Mormons and Abraham Lincoln made in January of 1863 that actually changed the outcome of the Civil War. And I'm not making that up. It actually did happen.
Okay, so that, yeah, so it's based on fact, and then you've used that to write the suspense. I got you.
Yeah.
Very interesting stuff, the Lincoln myth. I'm going to be the envy of everyone on the airplane.
Yeah, there's a lot of myths. We explore several of them in there, and I think some are going to surprise the readers.
Interesting. Very good. And the subject for our conversation, along with recognizing the fact that this is how you're able to do the philanthropy that you do, that's the beauty of being passionate about what you do and the work that you do. And, Steve, for me, that's financial planning, helping people get from where they are to where they need to be. And then that allows me, in my own modest way, to fulfill and explore my philanthropic interests. And that is a really neat thing when you can pull those together. And a lot of people, have their own lives enriched by being able to do that. So, what would you say to the person who says, well, there are things I would like to do, and I have been successful, and whatever that means to that person, because it's all relative, and they want to give back in some way. What's the first thing you would tell them about how to get started with that?
Well, you find something that you're passionate about, number one. You have to find that. You don't find something that's popular or something that you think will sell or work. You find what you are passionate about. What is it that excites you? What is it that gets you really interested? No matter what the time or wherever it might be, you're interested in that. For me, it was historic preservation. So you find what you're passionate about, and then you focus on that, and you come up with some type of unique way, something new and different, a way that you can stimulate other people to be passionate about it too. Now, that's not an easy order. I'm not going to tell you that's easy to do, but it can be done. I sat down and I thought about it, and I said, well, I like historic preservation. I want to help with that. How can I help? Well, I like writing. I'm passionate about that. So why can't I encourage or bring in a group of people, writers, who would never give a dime to historic preservation probably, but they would give money to help their craft? And I can be the conduit for that money to flow through. So I found a way to merge the two together by teaching these writing courses and by having those four-hour seminars in which we've helped so many writers. And that money raised from that, it made its way to historic projects. So I would encourage people to sit down, put their thinking caps on, and connect the dots just like I did.
Outstanding. Steve, that's tremendous. And thank God for everybody. You've got a good, nice, big, wide bandwidth to help make that happen.
Yeah.
Steve Barry is our guest, ladies and gentlemen, author and philanthropist, a passionate guy. You can tell the book, The Lincoln Myth, and his website is steveberry.org. Quick break, come back. I want to tee up an idea that I want Steve's help on, so stay right there.
Retirement planning doesn't have to be hard, complicated, or stressful. It also doesn't have to be in a hurry or with sales pressure. Since starting Holland Financial in 1997, it has been David Holland's mission to help individuals and couples plan their futures with personalized financial planning. David puts himself in his clients' shoes and recommends products and services he would choose for himself or his family. To learn more about Holland Financial or to schedule a one-on-one consultation with David, call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
And we are back. If you're just joining us, Steve Barry's on the line. He is a internationally recognized author, New York Times bestseller, and his latest book is The Lincoln Myth. And his website is steveberry.org. And I kind of teed it up before the break there, Steve. I want to ask you, it can be with people's philanthropic pursuits or ways that they want to give back. And as you said, it may not be easy to think it through or find exactly what you want, but you want it to be something you're passionate about because, where you're passionate, that's the key. And I do different things to support different organizations. But one of the things that I want to get your take on, because my wife and I are trying to figure this out, she was diagnosed a couple years ago with celiac, and that is an autoimmune disease that basically means that the gluten that is, it's a protein that's found in grains and some other types of plants that it really messes her up. It can create serious digestive problems. It is a serious thing. It's something like 1 out of 100 people have it in this country. So once she got off of the gluten and got away from the grains, you know, it just, she was feeling badly and it just turned her around. So now we're trying to figure out a way, and she's thinking through how she could help other people or help advance this cause of education. And so it's something that we're kind of talking through. So I thought I would take advantage of this opportunity with you to get some insight from you about maybe some of the steps she and I could take to move that forward for her.
Well, I mean, certainly, you know, one of the things you could do is help raise money for research into the disease, because I'm sure that's not one of those diseases that is heavily funded by governments. So I have a friend of mine, Brenda Novak, who's a writer, and her young son years ago was diagnosed with diabetes. And Brenda got very passionate about it. She came up with a brilliant idea. She created an online auction, and she has it every year in the month of May. And she goes around all year long, and she gets donations from writers, from businesses, from whatever. She gets whatever she can get, and she puts them up on this auction every May. And this year she raised $275,000, and she's raised $2.5 million doing this. It's quite remarkable. Like every year I give a lunch. You bid on having lunch with me, and people bid on that, and we set it up, and we have a lunch sometime during the year with the winner of the auction. This is just an example of the things that we give. And it doesn't take much from that except time to put it all together and assemble it. And in the end, you raise a significant amount of money that's been given to go into the research. So that's just one example of something that could be done.
Okay, so the fundraising, you know, with any initiative, and you're right, and we have looked at the research opportunities or ways to support that. In fact, she and her sister are going to run the New York City Marathon as part of a fundraising initiative for the Celiac Foundation.
There you go. I mean, they could have a Celiac Foundation auction that could be put together on a national scale, and you could put together some incredible things in that auction, and people will bid on it. And you could, like I said, you could generate quite a bit of money each year from that.
I could offer them to have lunch with me, Steve.
You could do the same. That's right. And you, and it's all done online, so it's very simple to put together and happen. It's not a very complicated thing at all.
Well, that'll get me the first $2, and then after that, we're going to have to work on some other ideas. Yes. That's very interesting. Okay, so it is about just really kind of looking at what you're passionate about,
sure,
and finding ways to support it. I like that.
Finding a unique way.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the other ideas we had, because she had this experience, tell me what you think of this, is there's a incredible amount of ignorance, and I don't mean, you know, in that in a derogatory sense, just pure ignorance, not only on part of the general public, but also within restaurants and places like that. And she was going to have a beer with some other people after work. She's a guidance counselor, and somebody was retiring, and she asked for a gluten-free beer, and they brought it out, and she looked at it, and the guy, they swore up and down it was gluten-free. And well, guess what? About 20 minutes after, you know, having this one beer, she started getting the responses, the symptoms of knowing that she has been, quote-unquote, glutens is what we call it. And so she talked to the manager, and the knowledge is not there. So one of the ideas we had was, is there a way for her to go into restaurants and train their employees and say, look, here are the things that you need to know about this and how to... I mean, some restaurants obviously are on board, but there's so much ignorance.
Sure, and that's an excellent educational tool, like we do in educating about historic preservation. And you could even create an online course that could do that, that they could access, which you could even get a wider push, and then encourage restaurants and corporations that own restaurants to have their folks, you know, become familiar with that.
I like that. That makes sense. I'm gonna make sure she listens to you and I talk about her and what we can do. I want to ask you this: is it unusual for authors like you, Steve, to be involved with philanthropy? Are you kind of unique in that regard?
No, not at all. No, it's a common practice. In fact, among the thriller community, it's a whole bunch of people that do it. David Baldacci has a Wish You Well Foundation, deals with literacy. James Patterson deals with teachers. There's a whole wide variety of folks that have this And I actually got the concept, a little bit of the idea and the concept from them, studying them and how they did it, and when I put History Matters together. So, no, it's a very common thing to want to give back at a certain point in time. We start that giving back process.
I like it. I like it a lot. Steve Barry's our guest today, ladies and gentlemen, author and philanthropist and passionate guy for moving the ball forward. The book is The Lincoln Myth. The website is steveberry.org. Quick break. We'll be right back.
These are challenging times for investors. The stock market is volatile, with 10% drops a common historical occurrence. Is your portfolio prepared for such a correction? How about inflation? What's your plan for when a gallon of gas or gallon of milk costs $16? And what about interest rates? Did you know that a 10-year bond could drop 10% if interest rates rose just 1%? What's your plan for that? Holland Financial has answers to questions just like these and practical steps you can take to help mitigate these negative events. Call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com to schedule your one-on-one meeting with David Holland. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
Welcome back. Steve Barry on the line with me, ladies and gentlemen. Author, philanthropist, the book, The Lincoln Myth, and the website, steveberry.org. You know, one of the other things I wanted to kind of hit on in the world that we live in, the economic conditions, and you mentioned before about funding being slashed for, or maybe not being available for some of the historical preservation that you've stepped in to help address, Steve. Is there an opportunity, I guess, to for people to say, look, I'm going to come forward, help these organizations that have had their funding cut? I mean, we see it all around us. Even though the economy is getting better, it's not like all of a sudden all that funding is being restored.
No, not at all. But historic preservation is probably at the bottom of the list if you put a list together. It's one of the low priority items that people even look at because people really don't give it much of a thought. They don't give it a thought till it's gone. Once it's gone, then they say, oh, whatever happened to that? Oh, it rotted away. It's gone. And so the particular cause that I deal with is one of the lowest priorities of them all. The money for that's never going to come back. Historic preservation is a local matter. It has to be dealt with locally by local folks. No one is going to come do it for you. You have to figure out how to do it yourself. If you want to preserve your treasures, and thank goodness there are people in every community who do want to preserve their treasures, then you have to focus on that and use your imagination, and that's what we encourage them. You have to use your imagination here and make it work. History Matters allows them to do that. They can do some very innovative things that they don't normally do, and they can tap into resources they would normally never tap into.
And the History Matters, is that over on your website as well?
It is.
Okay.
There's a link there, History Matters. Click on it, and you can see all the things we've done and all the things that we have planning. We're doing our very first international event in Canada in August on Prince Edward Island. We're doing three events up there to raise money for historic preservation there.
Cool. Very good. That's good stuff. Well, I like it. I think it's important. And you're right. It is a local thing because, you know, people aren't going to come in from out of town and say, hey, let's preserve all this because it's important. Right. It's really got to be important to people locally. Yeah. And you know, the other thing is that Americans are a very generous people, especially when they're given the opportunity to be generous. My kids know the difference between charity and taxes, you know, and it's something I've instilled in them from when they've been able to get up and walk around and understand what I'm talking about, that, you know, people can be very, very generous when given the opportunity and not forced to be so, and be able to, you know, look for an outlet to be able to help people and make a difference.
Sure, and I've found that very much so, particularly in historic preservation. Once you get them involved, people really step up, and it's been quite gratifying. As I said, we've raised $750,000 doing
it. Really incredible stuff. Now, I want to get back to your book for a minute, too, if we can, Steve.
Sure.
The Lincoln Myth. You mentioned, kind of set it up for us at the beginning of the program, that about whether part of the story and the thing that, you know, really kind of runs through this is whether a state or states could succeed from the Union. And there's a whole, you know, interplay between what was originally structured and then what Lincoln did. And if I'm heard you correctly, it was really Civil War being fought, it was really about creating something actually new. Creating something new.
A whole new concept.
Yeah, that didn't exist before.
No, the concept of an indivisible Union never existed prior to 1861. It was Lincoln who formulated that because he had to. He knew the North was not going to fight to free the slaves. That was not an issue that burned in the North. He was not going to get men to go and die for that issue. But he would get men go and die to keep the country together and to keep the Union together. And he came up with the concept of an indivisible Union. And that Union has to be fought and protected. And they bought it. And that's what they went for. But now the question is he right? Is that constitutional? Is that what the Founding Fathers intended? And when you look at certain aspects of what happened when the country was created, it was not what they intended. And this novel explains all that. One quick example.
Sure.
When the ratification vote was taken for the Constitution, three states, Rhode Island, Virginia, and New York, in their ratification votes to approve the Constitution, specifically reserved the right to walk away if they wanted to. And no one objected to that.
Wow.
To this day, those three states still have that right to walk away. There's just one example of what the Founding Fathers thought, and it was contrary to what Lincoln thought. Secession was the ultimate check and balance on a runaway federal government, and it was used in 1861, but Lincoln said, no, that doesn't exist. But that doesn't mean that he's necessarily right. And I think we're going to revisit this issue again one day. We're not done with this question of secession.
You know what, Steve? That was perfect. You put a bow around it. That's fascinating. And there are several comments I could make on that one. Number one, I think you're right. I think we will revisit it in light of what many people believe is a runaway government. And then number two, if New York ever did tender its right to do that, the rest of the country might just take them up on it.
You just never know. And that fight won't be on the battlefield. That fight will be in the courts.
Right.
And they will have that fight again because, as I said, it's the ultimate check and balance. And we lost that right in 1861, but that doesn't necessarily mean that was legal. And this novel explores all of those aspects with my hero, Cotton Malone. He gets caught up in all of this constitutional battle.
Well, and you speak to it being whether it's quote-unquote legal or not, and that's a very interesting point on which to turn this, because the war itself, did that change the law?
No, it didn't change anything. We just accepted the fact that the Union is forever, and we've accepted that since then. But that does not mean that is a constitutional doctrine. Remember, this Constitution is silent on whether a state can leave the Union. It doesn't say one word about that.
Wow.
Not one word. It doesn't prohibit it at all. And remember, the federal government only has the powers that were given to it. All powers not given to it are reserved to the state. And there was no power given to the federal government that said that the Union is forever.
That's fascinating stuff. And I think that we will see this play out, especially in light of the continued polarization of politics and of course also some of the things that we're starting to see with some of the current political events and the elections. And
sure.
I mean, it's going to be really interesting to watch.
Recently 125,000 Texans signed a petition saying they wanted to leave the Union, and 80,000 people signed a petition in Alaska saying give it back to Russia.
Wow.
Can you imagine?
Oh, God.
I mean, that shows you how deep the sentiment is out there. That, you know, so it's not an issue that went away in 1861. In fact, it's probably stronger today than ever. And like I said, I've always been fascinated by it, and I got a chance to explore it in great detail in this novel.
Excellent. The book, The Lincoln Myth, the author, New York Times bestselling author and internationally acclaimed, Steve Barry, sharing his time with us. Steve, thank you so much for being on the program.
Great to be here. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.